Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight. This is our August 17th program, and it's 8 p.m. here at my home in Texas. That means it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast and 9 p.m. on the East Coast, wherever you may be. That's for here in the United States, and then anywhere else around this nice, wide, big world that we have. And I always appreciate that I get people really from all over. I mean, I get lots of people from Europe that listen to the program, people from Australia and others. And so I always want to thank everybody that comes in and joins us here on the program. So with that, we want to welcome Blanca. How are you doing on this fine evening of August 17th?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you, Dave. We've had some hot weather, but the temperatures were a little nicer today. Other than that, we're just keeping on.
Oh, we've been having record-breaking heat temperatures here in Texas. I mean, I think we've had something like 20 or 30 days where it's been above 100 degrees, you know, every day.
Wow.
Like, I mean, here it is right now. It's, you know, 8 o'clock and it's 96. It got up to, I think, 102, 103 today. But
Jeez. They
did say that there is a cold front coming in from the north with possible thunderstorms and showers. And in the next couple of days, it's only going to get up to 80 degrees. So that's a big, big change for us. Yeah.
So they're going to let you out of the oven.
Well, on that note, I'm going to be leaving the oven.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I want to say thank you to all the wonderful people that were, in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Laverne, Minnesota area over the weekend. It was an absolute pleasure with being there with everybody that was there. My host, Lauren Forrest, you know, put on a workshop there. So I was up there for the last weekend, and it was just I was just talking with Blanca that now that I live here, you know, in Texas, I'm right by the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. I can basically hop in my car and be at the terminal, you know, in less than 10 minutes. And it was only about an hour and a half flight, an hour and 40-minute flight from Dallas-Fort Worth up to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's where we were. But other than that, I had an issue come up, and it was 4 or 5 weeks ago when I was in Norway. Because of some issues that had come up, I decided to come home early because originally I was going to be there for about a week. And so I had to change my flight. And when I went to looking at changing the flight, the cost to change it, in the long run, it was actually less for me to purchase a new one-way ticket from Oslo back, you know, to Dallas-Fort Worth. And then I had what is called a flight credit that was left over from the unused part of that flight. Well, what they told me was because it was a flight that was originating in Europe, it had to be a Europe-based flight. So I had a flight credit for a Europe-based flight. So on Friday, I am going to do something I have always wanted to do. And I'm going to go to a city in Europe I have never been to in my life and I've always wanted to go to. So on Friday, I'm going to be a tourist in Rome, Italy. I'm heading to Rome on Friday for 5 days just to be a tourist, and it's not costing me hardly anything. It was really interesting when I was looking at flight costs. You know, Dallas-Fort Worth to Rome, flying out of the Dallas airport, $4,200. I thought, no. I'm not going to do that. And then I just started looking at other cities. And I went on to Google Flights. And I entered in, you know, basically, you know, Dallas to Rome. And so American Airlines, which I usually fly on all the time because of, you know, the mileage and the baggage, you know, I get free and stuff like that. They were going to charge $4,200, but yet United and Delta were only charging $980 to $1,100. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? So I called up American Airlines and they said, there's nothing we can do about it. So I just started checking other cities. Well, Atlanta was $4,000, Philadelphia was $4,000, Washington, D.C. was $4,000. And then I looked at JFK out of New York City and I couldn't believe it. round trip $1,100. Okay. So for some reason, JFK is in line with the others, but none of the other cities are. So I fly one ticket from Dallas to JFK. I have about a four-hour layover, and then JFK to Rome. That's right. So I get to be a tourist, and I'm heading there. I'll take some photos, and I'll post them on my Facebook page and everything else, but it'd be nice to be there just to have that experience. So that's where I'm going on Friday. And Blanca, you said you've been there before to Rome.
Oh, it's a fantastic city, and like you and I talked about, lots of history there, but right in the middle of a teeming metropolitan city, you've got all these ruins. You know, you're just driving by the Colosseum, but anyway, it's going to be a blast, and the food, of course, is terrific, so you're going to have a blast.
Yeah, so that's what I get to do. I get to go back to being a tourist for this week, and then I come home, and I have about 3 weeks off, and then, I get to go to India for a workshop there. So Norway, Italy, and India, all in about, 3 months. So that's kind of a little different. I mean, usually I'm just hopping around the United States because of all the workshops that I've got going on. So this is a little different because I think before I went to Norway, I don't know, it'd been maybe a couple of years since I'd been overseas or something. So, but it's easy for me because it's just me. I don't live with anybody else. I'm not tied down to anything, so it's easy for me to pick up and go, and I don't mind picking up and going and doing all the traveling. So, yeah. Well, let's do that. I don't have anything else that I want to share in the preliminary information tonight. Blanca, do you have anything that you want to share?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to what you're going to share with folks. I'm kind of looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah. Well, tonight I'm going to discuss what is called understanding the world controllers. I think all of us, that if you're listening to this program, you would understand that we live in a world that politicians do not run and control this world. It's run and controlled by the elite, the extremely wealthy, powerful elite. We've called them the cabal, the Khazarian mafia, by various names. And basically in our Western world, the Europeans are basically controlled by the Rothschilds, who control the world central banks. And then here in the United States, you know, it's controlled by the Rockefellers. Well, they are the dominant power controlling groups that really run and control what goes on behind the scenes. And they use the power of their money to control things in their best interest. So tonight, I've shared with you in the past that there's this one lady that I've discovered that she just does such an excellent job of discussing these issues. And her name is Saratoga Ocean. So we're going to watch another short video, maybe about 24 minutes long, by Saratoga Ocean tonight, talking about the world controllers. And what she brings out is what they really control is they control the public education system in the Western world. And they knew by doing that, they could dumb us down as humanity, keep us in a dumbed-down state, and use us in essence as slaves, as workers for their businesses, so they become extremely wealthy and extremely powerful, and we're slaves to our jobs. That is the structure and the system that they have set up for us. I want to make a side note before we get into the program. She talks a lot about the education system. And if you think that isn't something that's interesting, who did I say really runs and controls the issues here in the United States? In the United States, it's the Rockefellers. Well, what I learned during my years in the legislature, and I served as, you know, the what was called the ranking committee meeting on our Senate K-12 Education Committee, I learned a lot about who really runs and controls, you know, K-12 public education. And it's the unions. The unions are the ones who really have the power behind that. And it's the teachers' unions, which is called the American Education Association. Well, guess who started the American Education Association? The Rockefeller Foundation. The Rockefellers knew, create a teachers' union, and you will control what is taught in the public schools through the power of the union. And they knew that. And Saratoga Ocean, that's a side note to what she talks about, but there's another really interesting side note. There are a couple issues in our life that really dominate what happens for us as humans here in our country and our world. The other is the medical system. The American Medical Association basically runs and controls the medical systems of the type of medical procedures and what can be done for us through the doctors, the hospitals, et cetera, and the power of the pharmaceutical companies. But guess who started the American Medical Association? The Rockefellers. See, they knew by controlling the healthcare industry, by controlling the banks, and by controlling the education system, you can control the people. And that's the system that they have set up. And I've shared multiple times, the release of these funds is for us to step up, become independently wealthy by the millions and scores of millions of people, and we can send a very clear message to the elite controllers, we don't need your money anymore. That's the real issue. But the understanding the world of the controllers, let's go in and let's listen to this presentation by Saratoga.
We have all the power we need built right inside of us. It's time to use that power now. Hi, I'm Saratoga Ocean, and I work together with an interdimensional, interuniversal, and extraterrestrial force known as Telstar, along with Archangel Michael. Now, as we look around on this planet, we can see that we have a big, big problem with those who appear to be in control. It's easy to feel like a victim as we watch them attempt to destroy everything that we once thought we could count on and trust. We can take this problem as a sign that motivates us to evolve in ways that we may not have known even existed. See, we can continue to evolve at a snail's pace over many more millions of years, either here or somewhere else unpleasant in this universe, all the while putting our souls at risk for whatever it is these controllers are planning for us next. Or we can take the opportunity now to make a huge cosmic leap forward and end this slow-moving trajectory of unconsciousness and denial. If you want to evolve as an individual, it's helpful to first understand the larger environment that you find yourself in and how you've been affected by that. So if we look at our larger environment, it's common to think that we have a controller's problem, but what we really have is a compliance problem. I'm not talking only about compliant behavior. Compliant behavior is just a symptom of something deeper. We need to look beneath the behavior and locate its source. The source can be found in a person's mind and in how and what they think. All behavior follows thought. The thinking comes first and the behavior is second. Now, most people think that the issues on this planet all stem from behavioral problems. And most people, no matter what side they're on, think that all solutions are about changing someone's behavior. Fighting against behavior is often a losing battle. You might be able to force a behavioral change, but it will likely be temporary unless you can get to the bottom of the thought pattern that created it. The controllers have been highly effective at creating a very compliant world population. So in a moment, I'm going to talk about how they have managed to do that, specifically in America and in other similar countries. Now, a lot of people currently believe that America is falling, and it is certainly in a state of decline, as are many other Western countries. It's very common to think that if we can just fix the behavior of the controllers and of all the compliant slaves, then all will be well again. The only problem with this kind of thinking is that it will always lead to conflict. It's all about conflict between who is right and who is wrong and whose behavior needs to change. And conflict will always lead to chaos. It's incredibly stressful and just loaded with fear. And that is not a creative environment. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should aim to forcibly stop conflict, because that would just bring even more conflict. I'm talking about those of us who are of a higher mind and who want to evolve, tapping into some higher metaphysical truths about all of this. And by the way, have you noticed how the controllers have co-opted the word meta from its more common use in the word metaphysical? Meta as in Facebook's new name, and more importantly, the more infamous corporately owned metaverse. And in case you didn't know, Facebook is not the originator or the creator of the metaverse. They are mere players in it, along with a whole bunch of other corporations. My point is that the controllers don't want us thinking metaphysically anymore. They want us to transfer our thoughts from metaphysical, which is a power related to nature, to the metaverse, which is a fake product of AI. It's an artificial reality. But we don't have to buy into that nonsense, and we can continue thinking metaphysically because that is our birthright. And the irony is that the controllers themselves are entirely metaphysical. They just don't want us going to that level, because then we might actually rediscover our natural power and then see them for what they are, which is basically cosmic losers. Meaning that they have lost all touch with reality, that what they have lost. So being that the controllers are powerless in the real sense of the word, they instead try to control us in league with their metaphysical dark side companions, along with certain interdimensional ET groups. The controllers plan to convince us that metaphysical realities are just too much trouble and too inaccessible. They will tell us that the metaverse will give us a free ride without having to evolve at all. See, they do not want to deal with us having equal or greater power than they do. Their goal is to keep us in a totally compliant state so we don't question anything about how insane they really are. So back to what I was saying earlier. America currently has a compliance problem that goes way back to the start of the Industrial Revolution, and other countries have this as well. Let's look at how the controllers have been so successful at creating the obedient civilization that we know today. It started with compulsory government schooling. That is at the root cause of everything we are suffering from today that is currently at the forefront. Now, there are other causes as well, such as religion, which is a huge fear-based cause, our detachment from God and from the real universe. And there are other causes like hunger and control of the money system to manipulate people into certain behaviors. But I want to focus on compulsory schooling because I want to address how they use this to control our foundational paradigms of thought and learning that lead directly to what we are capable of. This issue is one of the most relevant things happening today. Now, this is not about whether or not you have kids or you have school-aged kids. It's about the fact that we have all had contact with this evil system of compulsory schooling in one form or another throughout the course of our lives. We are all suffering from the effects of that misfortune. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against learning and I'm against education. I am definitely not saying that. That would be ridiculous. I'm suggesting that you think about the question, why do the controllers feel a need to create something called compulsory government schooling? Well, it's because it's a system they use to train their slaves. It's a corporate system used to create obedient workers with relatively low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is very important to instill if you want to control people. You have to undermine their natural sense of self-confidence. So let's go a little deeper into that, because if you were in any way connected to the system, then you may have some personal deprogramming that you might want to consider doing for yourself. Compulsory agreement schooling is about controlled learning. It's about directing the minds of the victims to learn only what the controllers want you to know. Through this system, they can control how smart you are and how stupid you are, depending on what their needs are. If the controllers go through a period where they need people who are smart in math because maybe they need some engineering experts in the mix, then they will open that valve of learning to make that possible. And the day that they don't need that anymore, we'll shut that learning down. So compulsory government schooling is a system of absolute control. You may have noticed that in recent decades, and especially in recent years, the trend has been to make people dumber and dumber. Many young people can barely read or even do basic math anymore. They are given free passes and participation trophies, regardless of what they know or how well they perform. Now, why do you think the controllers can afford a higher level of ignorance in the population right now? It's because AI is on the verge of taking over so many previously human functions that used to require a certain degree of education for the people performing those functions. But all of that is rapidly going to become obsolete. The controllers are undergoing complete transformation in their agenda. The way they see it now is that smart people ask way too many questions. They don't want to deal with that at all. They want people to be basically unconscious and stupid, so they don't have the slightest clue about what is really going on. The controllers don't need a lot of smart people anymore. What they need now are believers. They need people who will believe in their lies so they can proceed to reshape and reform the earth without interference from the masses. Now, if you look at the controllers' ideas with a clear mind, you can see that they are absolutely and completely stupid ideas. And the funny thing is that these ideas are created by entities who know that they're stupid and inept. They know that they can't compete with anything real, so they have to snuff it out. They have to snuff out the true, high-powered creative intelligence that is natural to the people of this planet. That's the intelligence that we're all born with. See, the controllers only know how to resort to control and theft to get what they want. This is why everything they create is artificial and based on lies. It's because they have no capacity to create anything real from a place of true natural power. So they have to completely suppress our natural intelligence, because they sure as heck can't afford for all of us to be able to recognize their stupidity and their ineptness. If we could see how dumb they really are from a cosmic perspective, then we would not put up with them for one more second. So they use compulsory schooling as one of their primary ways to solve this problem. If they can make us dumber than they are, then they eliminate the threat of us seeing them for what they really are, which is utterly and totally incompetent to manage, control an entire planet. In fact, these creatures and their human minions should never be allowed anywhere near a planet that bears any form of intelligent life. But they are here nonetheless. So let's take a closer look at how compulsory schooling makes the controllers look smart and prevents the average person from seeing how dumb these controllers really are. So basically, we are now at a level where the controllers instill absolute chaos into the minds of children and young people in order to completely dismantle people's ability to critically think for themselves and to destroy any last vestiges of their ability to create and determine their own destiny from within. This is actually a very evil form of human alchemy. The idea is to literally dismantle human beings on every single level and transform them into AI cyborg slaves to be harvested primarily for energy. It all starts with what they do to the mind. Controllers know that behavior follows thought. If they want to control behavior, they have to first control what exists in people's minds and how those people think about things, which therefore influences how the same people see things and how they react. See, this is so much easier and more efficient than only targeting behavior, which generally requires the use of force. Now, controllers are happy to use force if and when they deem it necessary, but they much prefer manipulation and lies because it's so much tidier. It doesn't create such a mess. And it's so much easier if they can enlist our own minds to do the controlling for them. That way, they can just live on the easy street of the elite who only have to figure out what lie to tell us next. So our first step in reclaiming our power, which they have stolen from us to use for their own purposes, is to recognize that this is all a function of how we understand and make use of our own minds. Now, the first step is to firmly shut the door of your mind to these controllers. Now, that doesn't mean to go into unconsciousness and denial. That will not help. Unconsciousness is a place of weakness born of fear. It only makes you more vulnerable to being manipulated without realizing it until it's too late. On the other hand, when you shut the door of your mind to these controllers, it makes you able to relax and see them for what they are and thus be the observer instead of the victim. And the last thing that they want is for us to function at the level of pure observation. That is a very dangerous place for them because it puts them at risk of losing all control of this planet. Once we become the observer, we become a very different type of being. Our energy completely changes, our vibration just skyrockets, and how we see things goes to an entirely different level. We become someone who they can no longer manipulate. Imagine the power coming from our minds when we are functioning at a higher level than they are. Imagine the negative impact this would have on their ability to succeed at their diabolical plans. You know, in some ways, it's actually kind of sad when you think about it. When you begin to recognize the sheer level of power that we human beings have within us has been suppressed, and that if unleashed could put an end to this madness once and for all. That's what things would look like if we could learn to function at higher metaphysical levels instead of feeling so incredibly earthbound. So what we need to do is go focused on the center of where these controllers target their daily attacks. To them, our minds are the bullseye. Our minds are like their prize. Like I said before, they know full well that behavior follows thought. So if they can control our thoughts, they can control our behavior. If they can shape our mental paradigms, then they can funnel our reactions into exactly the paths they want. This is why I talk so much about the things they're actually doing. When we wake up without fear, then we can realize that it's us that has the power, because it's us who have the final jurisdiction over every single thought that enters our minds. So you can watch them spewing all of their garbage thoughts and using fear as the glue to make those thoughts stick. Your outlook on it will completely change when you see it all for what it is, without allowing yourself to become a player or a character in this sick little world. I suggest that you start by acquiring a cosmic paradigm of reality instead of imprisoning yourself in an earth-based paradigm. Now, you don't need more information to be able to do this. You know, there's something that I like to call cosmic common sense. This is the true common sense that arises from within your heart and emerges from your higher intelligence. All you have to do is be willing to listen to those higher faculties that you possess and take them very seriously. And that's what meditation is for. It's to give you the space and the ability to connect with those higher faculties. And don't allow the ego to be dismissive of this higher level of knowing. The only reason the ego wants to dismiss such things as being irrelevant or as non-existent is because the ego doesn't have a place in that higher reality. But we do have a place there. It's actually our home. If we don't take it seriously, we really don't have a way to adhere to a higher level of thought than the low level that controllers want to keep us anchored to. Instead, we could just end up continuing to live as their victims. Now, before I go, I want to address the obvious question, which is, what about all of the people on Earth who will likely never see things this way? What about all of the people who are still asleep or who are going back to sleep now that the pandemic is over? Here's what I would say to that. When it comes to the collective evolution of the people on this planet, that is not something that we can control, nor should we. Every soul is on its own unique journey, and people have the free will to make their own choices, even if those choices are going to lead to more suffering. But I believe that as lightworkers and starseeds, we are all here with a purpose, and that is to hold the light and hold the space for others to be able to detect a resonating energy that is above and beyond all the madness. People need to be able to see and feel something different and better than what they might see in the average people who surround them every day. And we can each provide them with an opportunity to see and feel that. Now, maybe they won't recognize anything outwardly, but you never know when your presence might serve as a lighthouse for someone's soul who feels extremely lost. Now, this definitely doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. It really just means that we can try to sincerely do the best that we can under these circumstances. And by doing the best that we can with sincerity and love, we can exist as a positive asset of light in this very dark situation. And if nothing else, realize that the earth itself appreciates and welcomes your love and gratitude. The earth is a living being. Think of what it means to the consciousness of Gaia to have even one of her inhabitants connected to a higher reality. And we can each be that person. See, when we heal, the planet heals. Every single one of us matters. So I hope I have given you a lot of food for thought about how you can transform your own experience on this planet by tuning into the power that you already have and reclaiming full jurisdiction over your mind. And if you enjoyed this video, please give it a thumbs up and share it out with anyone else who you think would enjoy an entirely new level of empowerment. And be sure to subscribe and hit that notification bell because I am here every Tuesday with all new videos. And with that, I'm sending you loads of love, light, and high vibrational energy. Have a beautiful day, my friends. Namaste.
Okay. Well, I always enjoy her creative thoughts and how she thinks and how she presents stuff. She does such a good job on it. Anybody who's attended my workshops know that I talk about, you know, the whole last session is about understanding the power of your thoughts and what we can do with that. We are the controllers of that and how there is opposition to us that wants to control what we can think or what we're supposed to do. And the whole issue of the controllers is their attempt to dumb us down so we don't understand who we truly are. In the last couple of weeks, I had introduced you to a book called Anna, the Grandmother of Jesus. Very, very powerful book. And if you get to understand things about Anna, she was a very strong, powerful woman who understood completely the power of her thoughts. And that's what allowed her to live the life that she lived. And at the end of the day, she always says, it's your choice how you choose to frame your thoughts and what you're going to choose to think and who you're going to allow to influence your lives. And she says, if you stand at the position of the higher realm of strong vibrational energy in your thoughts, you will begin to discover and enter into your true potential. She says, we don't do the things that Jesus did because we don't know who we are. We don't remember who we are, and we don't realize that we have that full potential within us because we have been programmed to think that we don't have that capability and that we've been dumbed down. So with that, Blanca, I'd like to turn it back over to you. Why don't you share your thoughts from what you heard there?
Well, I thought she had a really good way to frame what she was saying. And what I really liked, I like how she said you can take jurisdiction over your own mind. And fortunately, a lot of what you've been talking about throughout your shows is this very thing. I remember when we were talking about The Course of Miracles and some of those sort of books and how we needed to take dominion over what our thoughts were. And so I thought she did a very effective job. Also, she did a very effective job of pointing out the globalists or the controllers to get inside our minds. I like the way she said they use fear as the glue, which
yes.
is kind of a different way. I've heard about fear, right? Because it's a very primal instinct for human beings. But I like the way she said they use it as glue. I thought that was pretty effective.
Well, I share in the workshops that the biggest tool that the cabal, the controllers use to manipulate and manage us is to keep us in fear. If they can keep us in fear, then they can control us. And that's why it's so important that we are the ones who have the power of our thoughts and we are the ones who choose to consciously or unconsciously let fear be a part of our lives. And it's extremely important that you learn how to not let it do that. Fear has no place for anything if you want to be a master and controller of your own life. So, okay, Well, I don't really think I need to share a whole lot more because, you know, her program is so good. There's no need to continue expounding on it. Are we ready to go see if some of the callers would like to call in and have some questions or some comments?
Yes, it looks like someone has raised their hand. So,
yes, but first of all, folks, if you have a question or if you'd like to make a comment, the number there is 515-605-9356. Again, 515-605-9356. And we do have one person that has raised their hand from area code 203. So let's go into that person and let's see what they might have to say. Okay.
Hi, Dave. This is Peter from Connecticut. And
yes.
I had a couple quick questions. I enjoyed the show. It was interesting, and there's a lot I agree with it. And there's more I will discuss about that later. But a couple quick questions. One is I listen to other people, and I just think there's a lot of nonsense in some of the things other people are talking about. And here's one of them. Biden, Obama, Hillary Clinton are not real. They're gone. They're dead. And they're just clones that are appearing. They're not Biden doesn't even go to the White House because it's a clone of his. And the other thing is the IRS tax money that is paid every year goes to the cabal, the Illuminati, et cetera, but it's not going to pay for the roads and the bridges or the government. So what do you think about those questions?
Well, if you really know and understand what's going on behind the scenes, now, there are some very, very credible, what I call intuitive sources. I'm not going to comment about Obama, about where he is. But they've been very, very clear that Hillary and Biden are gone. They're fakes. I've seen, if you look at the Biden that we see now and look at pictures from him from about 5 to 7 years ago, you can clearly see they're not the same guy. If you know what to look for. Biggest thing is the earlobes. And the other is the distance between the top of the lip and the nose and then the eyebrows and stuff like that. That's clearly not the same guy. There's no question about it. Anybody who knows how to look for him, that he is not. There are basically from the Palladians through Barbara Marciniak even to Ben Fulford are saying that Biden is done and gone. What we have are actors, stage actors, or people with masks on that are basically playing his role. And you can clearly see that that's not him. Okay.
Huh,
now,
okay.
Your other issue again, tell me again what it was.
The IRS, the taxes that are paid by most Americans, they're not being used for the government. It goes to the cabal, the Illuminati, who knows?
I will tell you what the Dragon family members told me in one of my trips to Hong Kong. They told me, your taxes don't go to your treasury and go to your government. Your tax revenue through the Federal Reserve is basically sent to the cabal controllers in Europe. And the Dragon family members said, we are the ones who put the money out to fund your government, because it's about 70 to 80% of the federal budget is the Department of Defense, the military. They flat out told me, we fund your military. We do that. We recognize there needs to be what is called basically, a global police force, if you want to say that, and your United States military does that because it keeps the world in a peaceful scenario. And they said, we fund your government, and your tax money does not. And see, that's why we have these massive, massive, deficits every year. I mean, they're printing up this money out of nothing, but our taxes don't come anywhere close to paying for the cost of the federal government. Nowhere close to it. So
where is our money going to? It's not enough to do anything. Is that what you're saying? It's going nowhere?
It goes to the crown.
That's what I heard, too. It goes to the crown.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
It goes to the crown. It goes to the crown.
That's basically what we've heard. Okay.
Now,
Rome and Italy and the Pope are really in control of everything, too, right?
Now,
that's where all the gold is.
Okay, now I don't know this for certain. See, but I have heard stories that when you go back to 1871, that basically, you know, at that point, the United States was bankrupt coming out of the Civil War. And it had borrowed a lot of money from the crown, from Great Britain, you know, at that time. And so in 1871, the controllers of the crown told the United States, you are either going to come back into and be in a commonwealth of basically, you know, the crown, or you're going to set up a scenario where you basically you are indebted to us and you pay us your tax revenues. And that's what I had heard is what the real result of that was, so that they still control the, quote, United States of America Incorporated because they're a bankrupt corporation. And so they've been doing that quietly from since the 1870s. Now, that's a story that I've heard. I don't know how accurate it is, but it sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Sounds interesting. Thank you very much.
Yeah, see, there is clearly in history, it said our Constitution was changed in 1871. Well, you could do that in 1871 and change the Constitution and the public would never know it because there is no, you know, way to, you know, share this publicly because, you know, all information was by word of mouth or by written communication. And it would take months sometimes before people found out anything had happened. It was about a year ago. I mean, what I heard is that you look at the Constitution today and it says the United States of America, and those are all in capital letters. In a legal document, when something is all in capital letters that's naming an entity, it's its designation that it's a corporation. That's why you look at our birth certificates, our names are always all in capital letters because we are basically a part of a corporation. We're subsidiaries to this United States of America Incorporated. And they changed the Constitution. They forced the, you know, basically Great Britain forced the United States to change the Constitution so they were a corporation as a subsidiary to the crown. About a year ago, I was in Philadelphia, and I went into the Constitutional Hall. And in there, they have copies, the actual hard physical copies of the second Constitution, because the first 10 Constitutions were handwritten. They were written by hand. And they have the original, you know, is in basically in our Capitol building in Washington, D.C., but the second and other copies are in this Constitutional Hall in Philadelphia. And I went there and I read it, and the United States of America is not capitalized, which means they changed it. And
yeah,
they changed the designation, designate that we are basically, as a country, we're a corporation. And we are a subsidiary corporation to the crown.
How long will it take before that changes? Before we're no longer part of the corporation?
Well, at some point in time, somebody's going to have to challenge that in the court systems, and it will have to make its way all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is going to have to make a decision to say, are we a corporation or are we a republic? You see, that's when the republic, you know, what people say is when the republic was stolen from us, where we, the people, were really no longer in control of the country through our votes and through our elected officials. We've always been led to believe that we, you know, elect our officials and they're in control. And I can tell you, as someone who was in elected office, elected officials don't run the government, run the system. They don't do it. They're controlled by the money controllers, always, always controlled by the money controllers. Okay, anything else?
Okay. No, very interesting. I'm very intrigued by it. Thank you very much for all that information.
Okay, alrighty. Thanks a lot. Okay, and if anybody else, again, would like to call in, the number there is 515-605-9356. And Blanca, any thoughts that you would like to share with her? I kind of went on to a little side note there, talking with some stuff from the history and background of issues.
Well, it was a good question, and that's and that's what's going through right now. The globalists want to go ahead and claim dominion of the whole world as their little corporation. And
yes.
And there are people that are opposing it. You know, that's why Americans are opposing, you know, their Green New Deal thing. And everything that that's being implemented right now is their, you know, final aim to totally take over the corporation. And then the resistance is basically resisting to that, you know, final takeover. Of course, there's a lot of rumor that the USA Inc. has already been bankrupted, but if it has, we haven't seen the effects in terms of the freedom and the return to law as opposed to, you know, statutes. So, and even if it does go back to a republic, we're going to still have a big battle on our hands because there's such an entrenched system, corporate system. We all grew up under it. Our parents grew up under it. Our children are under it. So it'll be a very big process for ourselves and for America if indeed we try to resuscitate or restore the republic.
You know, the impacts and the effects take place at the corporate level. When you and I wake up tomorrow morning, we don't notice any difference in our lives because, i.e., we are the workers, the slaves for the corporate elite. But what it does, it allows these elite to have the power and control through the corporate system to run the system and keep us, i.e., as worker slaves. That's what it allows them to do. And when that falls apart, it means that we, as a republic, have the ability to then take control of the corporation and start spreading it out to the masses where the masses benefit from the process. Right now, we don't. We're just slaves to the system. It was back even to what, you know, Saratoga Ocean says. We're slaves to their system. And so we don't know that because as slaves, we don't really know what really goes on at the top. Okay.
That's true, and that's why her message of controlling our own minds and not believing in their sales job is the, you know, is an important step towards freeing ourselves.
The first step to freedom is recognizing your current condition. You have to be able to recognize and acknowledge where you currently are in the real scenario that you are in. Once you recognize that condition, you then set about the thoughts to bring about the change that you want to bring. And that takes time because it means you have to totally completely shift how you think of what you can and cannot do. So, well, I don't see anybody else there willing to call in tonight. Do you have anything else that you want to share with us before we call it an evening tonight?
No, I think we had a full show today.
I do too. I think we're ready to call it. Now, folks, I won't have a program next week because next week on Wednesday night, I'm flying back from Rome, okay? So I'll be on a plane and during programs time. So I no program next week, but I'll be with you here in 2 weeks, and I'll be sending some pictures on my Facebook page of my trip and maybe I'll have some stuff to share with you in a couple of weeks when I'm back, okay? All right. Thank you for joining us tonight, folks. Let's see if we get the little jingle. There it is. We'll see you.